This is the Crow with No Mouth radio program, Small and Significant, broadcasting from beautiful Stillwater, Minnesota. I am your host, Jesse Gowen. I've written about experimental music for a variety of electronic and print journals, including Paris Transatlantic, The Wire, Dusted, Compost and Height, and since 2010, my blog, Crow with No Mouth. From 2011 to the present, operating as Crow with No Mouth Promotions, I have curated a concert series in the Twin Cities, presenting music seldom heard in the Midwest, principally electroacoustic, composition and improvisation, noise, and other music of consequence. To date, the Crow Concert Series has presented 96 musicians from 13 countries in 42 concerts. The majority of these events presented musicians in their Minnesota debut, including Keith Rowe, Michael Pizarro, Jörg Fry, Hong Chul Ki, Olivia Block, Vanessa Rossetto, Tatuzi Akiyama, Toshimaru Nakamura, Nate Woolley, Rainier Van Hout, and many others. You can find my music writing and information about the Crow with No Mouth concert series by visiting crowwithnomouth.com. If you wish, you can respond to this program via my blog or on my Facebook page, Crow with No Mouth Promotions. After Naljarlok, I was ready to give everything up, because it's sometimes very difficult to ask oneself, what can I do now? I had already experienced this sort of thing two or three times in my life, after finishing a work that seemed to come close to what I was striving for. For me to begin again, it would have to be something rather huge. It is necessary to have big dreams, because along the way, something must invariably be given up. The greater the dream, the more that remains. With a smaller dream, not much is left. The Occam series represents something gigantic, since by nature it is never finished. This is what attracted me to this type of piece, with so many possible rich and varied combinations. I can then never say that my work is done, so long as all of these wonderful musicians continue to fill me with the joy of their magnificent talent. These are the words of the composer, Eliane Radig. She's referring to the space she found herself in around 2005, when her first piece for an acoustic instrument, Naljarlok, was completed. Naljarlok's an extraordinary work for cello, and it was the fruit of her collaboration with the extraordinary cellist, Charles Curtis. There were actually several layers of new ground in the creation of Naljarlok. As I mentioned, it's a composition for an instrument that she knew little about on a technical or performative level. And also, equally significantly, its collaboration itself. Ms. Radig emerged from a compositional process of nearly four decades that she's recalled in several interviews in the past decade as a lonely one, always constructing, conceiving of her meticulous works for tape and feedback in the synthesizer in solitude. The music you heard in tonight's intro is a small section of her last electronic composition, Ili Resonon, The Resonant Island. It premiered in 2005, and it was released on CD the same year. Between that final work for electronics and Naljarlok, released in 2008, Miss Radig considered the way forward. She was 76 when Naljarlok was released, and since that time to this very day, Ms. Radig is engaged in intimate collaborations with a score of musicians. This process of the last 6 years has created to date a series of pieces entitled Okam, or Ocean. There are now at least 22 solo Okam pieces and over 22 Okam chamber works. In the past year, Okam Ocean, Ms. Radig's name for a large ensemble work in the Okam lineage, has been performed numerous times with as many as 26 musicians. For the next several episodes of the Crow with No Mouth radio podcast, I'm going to play pieces from this Okam project. Some are currently available, newly available on CD, and some are still unreleased. As well, I want to talk about Ms. Radig's process of collaboration and lineage with the musicians involved, and other matters of consequence. The Resonant Isle, as I said, her last electronic work, was inspired by an island lake that she knew, its mirroring surface, its reflective nature. This is an auger of the significance of water for Ms. Radig in the composition sense. In the Okam compositional lineage, there are tributaries, pieces bearing the names of Okam Hexa and Okam River. In the ensuing episodes, I'll talk a little bit about the potency of this metaphor, this water metaphor for Ms. Radig. Tonight we have time to hear Okam 1 and 2. Appropriately, begin at the beginning. Okam 1 is for harp, played by Rodri Davies. It's from 2011. Followed by Okam 2 for violin, played by the amazing Sylvia DeRosi. You just heard Okam 1, Ilion Radigue's composition, realized by harpist Rodri Davies, and Okam 2, for violin, realized by Silvia Taurosi. We are just beginning to see the documentation and release of the Okam pieces, but actually Silvia Taurosi's wonderful Okam 2 was released on a CD called Virgin Violin. It was one of three pieces on that release. On the Italian label, and I'm likely to mangle this name as much as I mangle the French, Edici di Angelica. I-D-I-S-C-H-I D-I Angelica. And this came out in 2014. The Rodri Davies piece that you heard was just released on Okam Ocean on the French Shin label, S-H-I-I-I-N. You're going to hear much more from this double CD release that just came out, Okam Ocean, on the Shin label. And as I mentioned, the next several Crow with No Mouth Radio episodes will be taken up with, centered around the Okam works. I'm really pleased at what's on the horizon, as well as what we heard tonight. There's going to be some surprises. And one thing is, I sought and got permission today from the composer, Ms. Radigue, to air some unreleased works. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to sharing that with you. We'll close this episode with the sound of Tibetan monks chanting the mantra of the wrathful deity Mahakala. As many of you who are familiar with Ilion Radigue's work and life know, she's been a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner for over 40 years. And as some of my friend listeners know, and people maybe who have visited my blog, I've been a Buddhist practitioner much of my life. And the first time I corresponded with her, it was basically a fan note. And I told her that we shared a particular Tibetan Lama lineage in common, a teacher. And she wrote a wonderful response, essentially saying that we're linked karmically by both this practice and her music. I also wish to dedicate this episode to Carol Robinson. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.